You are audible. We can hear you. You are audible. Thank you, Che.
Yes, I just went to fetch my headphones. Honorable members, we have a quorum. We do have a quorum. Good morning, Honorable Minister.
Good morning, Chair. We do have a quorum.
Yes. And Honorable Sheikh Imam. Honorable Whitfield has also indicated he will join the meeting late. Do we have any further apologies, Babawa?
No, Chair. No, Chair. I only received two apologies.
Chairperson, I'm here, but I will leave for 9:30 meeting with Justice. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson.
Yes. You are welcome, Honorable. Yes.
Good morning, Chairperson. I'm going to ask to be excused again at 12 o'clock for another meeting.
I'm sure we'll be done by then.
Thank you.
Chair,
you were not audible, but it's me and the head of IPIT, mental thing, and from the police, we have the Deputy National Commissioner, Lieutenant General Masemola, and the team. The minister is not going to attend.
Thank you, Minister. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. I was saying that the minister won't be joining us because of other commitments.
Yes, absolutely. Deputy Minister, welcome to your team. Welcome to you and your team. We're not going to have a long introduction. You may start by introducing the team and they can start the presentation. Thank you very much.
No, thanks very much, Chair. Morning to honorable members and your staff. It's me leading the team with the executive director of IPID, Ms. Dikeledi Jennifer Nkateng, with her team. She will introduce other members that are with her. And from SAFS, we have Lieutenant General Masemola, the Deputy National Commissioner. Thank you. With your permission, Chair, Executive Director, can you introduce your team and start with the presentation simultaneously? Through you, Chair.
Morning. You may start. Good morning. Dr. Kinnis, do we have the presentation?
Yes, Chair. Babawa will put it up for us. Thank you.
Who's starting with this presentation?
It's the Executive Director of IPIT, Ms. Tlaseng. Thank you.
Yes, but what is happening where I'm waiting? I see the Deputy Minister. Oh, wonderful. Welcome.
I'm here. Thank you, Chair. And good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, members of the Portfolio Committee. Let me first introduce the team that I'm with. We have the CFO, Mr. Victor Senna. I also have Ms. Susan Litlape, who's responsible for strategy. I also have Mr. Thuso Kifelakai, who is the acting chief director in investigation and information. So, Chair, can I commence with the presentation?
You may go ahead. Thank you very much and welcome and good morning.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair. Okay. This is, we will first start with quarter four as a collective. First presentation. I am going to give an overview of our performance in relation to quarter four. For quarter four, our case intake was 1,459. We also implemented the backlog strategy, turnaround strategy, which led to the finalization of 1,610 cases. And then a total 102 departmental conviction and 26 criminal convictions were secured in quarter four. Investigation tools were also procured to improve effectiveness in our different provinces, 60 vehicles and protective gear for investigators. The department is operating with only 4 satellite offices, which affects the effectiveness of our investigation, but it's something that we are going to be addressing because we are looking at using the regional approach in terms of how we're going to get our own satellite offices. And we are busy engaging municipal offices as well as our counterpart, Department of Community Safety, to assist us in accommodating some of our investigators in their offices at a free cost, of course. There's also a total establishment was reduced from 415 to 391 to accommodate implementation of our Section 23 because we needed to pay Section 23 employees. New posts that were created to address internal controls deficiencies in key governance units could no longer be funded because we had to utilize that money to fund the Section 23 investigators. Implementation of Section 23 of IPED Act remains a priority. 30 million of pension liability was settled for active members and 20 million for backdated payment for level 7 and level 8 investigators were also paid. So what I'm going to do is to request the CFO just to take us through the budget and expenditure information. Over to you, CFO.
Thank you very much, Executive Director. Good morning, Chairperson, Deputy Minister and Honourable Members. I will be sharing with members the expenditure at the end of quarter four. Chairperson, at the end of quarter four, we had spent 99.99% of our total allocation. So we underspent by 0.01 or 43,000 in terms of rents. Program one, which is administration, it had spent 99.99% of its allocation. Program two, which is investigation and information management, it spent 100% of its allocation. And legal and administration, legal and investigation advisory services, which is our program three, it has spent 99.49%. And compliance, monitoring, and stakeholder management, which is our program four, at the end of fourth quarter, it has spent 99.96%. As I said, there was 43,000 that was not spent. And the reason for that is that we didn't want to overspend on our budget. So we had to be very careful in terms of the payments that we are making. So we can move to the next slide. This slide, Chairperson, just provide members with overall spending in terms of economic classification at the end of quarter four. Compensation of employees, Chairperson, we had overspent by 19.3 million. It was mainly because of implementation of Section 23. However, goods and services, we spend 85.14%, transfers 94.04%, and then machinery and equipment, it was 34%. And the reason for this, Chairperson, is that we had to utilize the savings in goods and services to be able to implement Section 23. Hence, you would see that on compensation, we had overspent by 19.3. However, at the vote level, Chairperson, we didn't overspend, and hence we didn't incur unauthorized expenditure. And we did communicate with National Treasury in terms of having to move funds from goods and services to compensation of employees. The next slide. So the next slide is just providing a narrative, as I have already explained, that overall as at end of March 2020, we had reported a cumulative expenditure of 336.6 million against the total allocation of 336.6 million, which means that we had spent 99.99% of our budget, leaving an amount of 43,000 underspending. So I think as executive director has already mentioned, the past financial year, we had to implement Section 23 as per the court order, and therefore it resulted in us overspending a bit in terms of our compensation of employees by 8.46%. So Chairperson and Executive Director, that is the expenditure at the end of quarter four. Thank you.
Thank you, CFO. I am now going to hand over to Ma'am Susan Ditlape just to take us through the operational performance of the institution. Thank you, Ma'am.
Thank you, Chairperson. Okay. Apologies for that. We humbly apologize for that, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to the Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. The first slide on performance is the summary of our overall performance as the department, starting with Program 1, Administration. We achieved 43% of our targets in quarter 4, which is 3 over a total of 7 targets that were achieved. And for Program 2, our core program, Investigations and Information Management, our performance was at 67% with 12 targets over 18 that were achieved. And going to Program 3, Legal and Investigation Advisory Services, our performance was at 75%, which is 6 over 8 targets that were achieved. And our last program, Program 4, Compliance Monitoring and Stakeholder Management, we achieved all our set targets for the program, which is 8 over 8 targets. And in terms of the overall departmental performance, we achieved 70%, Honorable Chairperson, 29 targets over a total of 41 targets were achieved during the period under review. Now going to performance per program, we are starting with Program 1. This is our strategic indicator in our strategic plan for the previous MTSF period. The indicator is number of strategic training areas undertaken as per IP training plan. And our annual target is 7, and our output by quarter 4, it was 12. The performance that we are reporting, Chairperson, for this indicator is cumulative. It's what we managed to achieve from quarter 1 up to quarter 4. And the reason for exceeding the target, it was due to additional training programs that were reprioritized for the whole department. And now going to the APP indicators under Program 1. The first one is percentage vacancy rate per year. We achieved 9.9%, which was below 10%, and the target was achieved. The next indicator is percentage implementation of annual internal audit plan. The target is 80%, and we achieved 79%. 23 activities out of 29 were concluded by the end of the financial year. And the reason the target was not met is due to the fact that during quarter four, because we had to respond to the pandemic that we were faced with, it impacted on the reporting and also the finalization of some of the audit reports. And in order to correct that going forward, we have reviewed the technical indicator description to ensure that it also covers the audit process methodology in respect of late submission of management responses. And the next indicator on the implementation of risk mitigation strategies, Chairperson, we achieved 21% and the target is 50%. So the target was not met. We managed to fully implement only three risk mitigation strategies. And this is because most of the mitigation plans were partially implemented by end of the reporting period. And this was due to dependencies on external stakeholders. And the mitigation plans were since reviewed for the 2021 financial year. The next indicator is on the evaluations conducted per year. The target was one, and the target was not met. However, the draft evaluation report was in place by the end of quarter four. And the reason why it was not finalized is because the project commenced during quarter four due to limited capacity as a result of the vacant position of Deputy Director Monitoring and Evaluation. And this position, Honorable Chairperson, was filled in September. And the project will be finalized in the current financial year, and it will also cover the 2019-2020 audited performance. And the next indicator is obtain positive audit outcome. Chairperson, the target was achieved during quarter two. We obtained unqualified audit opinion for the 2018-19 financial year. And for implementation of ICT infrastructure, the target is 80%, and we achieved 50. Only four projects were concluded by the end of the reporting period, and reason being that the implementation of ICT plan was not adequately monitored, and we have since ensured that we established an ICT steering committee that will play an oversight role at an operational level. Going to Program 2, Chairperson, we are starting with the two strategic indicators. The first one is on the investigation, the training of our investigators on specialized services as per the training plan. The target was 75, Chairperson, and the output is 16. And the reason the target was not achieved is due to operational demands which led to management taking a decision that the specialized training interventions should be deferred to the next financial year, 2020-2021. And the next strategic indicator on percentage of decision-ready cases completed from total cases received, the output is 29% against the target of 45%. The target was not achieved due to high intake, particularly in KZN, Gauteng, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, and Eastern Cape provinces. Furthermore, we also experienced delays in obtaining technical reports, which are ballistic, histology, toxicology, and also the DNA results. However, Chairperson, investigation of cases is ongoing. Going to the APP indicators, Chairperson, the first indicator is on the allocation of cases within 72 hours of receipt of written notification. The target is 80%, and we achieved 92%. The target was exceeded due to effective monitoring processes. And the next one is number of statistical reports generated. The target for quarter four is one, and the target was achieved. The next one is on investigations of death in police custody that are decision ready. The target is 150, and we exceeded the target. The output is 174, and this is due to prioritization of cases. The next indicator, investigation of death as a result of police action, the target was also exceeded. The target is 130, and the output is 141. The next indicator, on discharge of an official firearm, the target was also exceeded, Chairperson. The target was 150, and the output is 257. So the reason for exceeding the targets is also due to prioritization of cases. The next indicator is the investigations of rape by police officer that are decision ready. The target was also exceeded, Chairperson, due to prioritization. And the next indicator is the investigation of rape while in police custody that are decision ready. The target, Chairperson, was 10, and the output is 8. And the reason the target was not met is because during the period under review, we registered 11 cases, and from the 11 cases, 4 cases were received and registered between December 2019 and March 2020. So by the end of the financial year, investigation of 3 cases was still in progress. However, investigation of those cases is ongoing, Chairperson. And the next indicator is on the investigations of torture that are decision ready. The target was exceeded due to prioritization of cases. The target is 45 and we completed 62. On assault, investigations of assault matters, the target is 2,000 and the target was not achieved. Our output is 1,461. This is due to the challenge in completion of the cases. The challenge in completion of the cases is due to prioritization of cases in terms of impact. The next indicator, Chairperson, is on investigation of corruption matters. Our target is 60 and we managed to complete 35 cases. And during the period under review, we registered 66 cases. And out of the 66, 14 were received between December 2019 and March 2020. And other cases were still under investigation by the end of the financial year. However, investigation is still ongoing, Chairperson. And the next indicator is on investigations of other criminal and misconduct matters referred to in Section 28(1)(h) of the IPED Act. The target was 40 and the output is 10. So the target was not met. And only 18 cases, Chairperson, were received during the period under review, which was lower than the set target, with 5 cases received between November 2019 and March 2020. Investigation on other cases was delayed by outstanding statements of witnesses and challenges in tracing suspects to obtain warning statements. And investigation is ongoing on the cases that were still active by the end of the financial year. The next one is the investigation of offences referred to in Section 33 of the IPED Act. The target was exceeded. We concluded 31 cases. And the next indicator, Chairperson, is systemic corruption cases that were decision ready. Our target was 3 and we managed to complete 4 cases. The target was exceeded due to prioritization of cases. And on the next indicator on the backlog, decision-ready cases, these are cases that were carried over from the previous financial year. The target was 1,490 and the output was 1,612. The target was exceeded due to prioritization of cases. And the next, the last two indicators, Chairperson, under Program 2, is the percentage of dockers that are referred to the NPA within 30 days. The target is 90, and we achieved 95%. The target was exceeded due to effective monitoring. The same goes to the next indicator, Chairperson, on disciplinary recommendations referred to SAPS and MPS within 30 days. We achieved 94% against the target of 90%. Now, the next slide, Chairperson, is just additional information on the recommendations that were referred to SAPS. We per province, and also it's a cumulative information from quarter one to quarter four. I will just focus on the total numbers. The total number, Chairperson, of negative and positive recommendations that were referred to SAPS by end of quarter four, it was 2,617. And out of this number, we had 870 negative recommendations. This is where disciplinary steps were being recommended. And for 1,747 recommendation reports, they were positive, and disciplinary steps were not recommended for those. Going to the next slide, this is the progress on disciplinary processes that were finalized by the South African Police Services. It's also cumulative, Chairperson. And in terms of the total, by end of quarter four, we had 353 disciplinary processes that were finalized. And underneath is a reflection of the outcomes. There were 160 where members were found guilty, and when members are not found guilty is 56, and no steps taken is 123, with 14 where cases were withdrawn. And from the 160 where the members were found guilty, the sanctions are as follows. The first one is counseling, it's 6, and 18 for this members of that were dismissed from the service, 33 final written warnings, 1 sanction unspecified, and 74 is the written warnings, 12 is verbal warnings, and the last one is salary suspensions on 16 members. The next one, Chairperson, is negative and positive recommendations referred to the Metro Police Services. It's also cumulative. We had 106 recommendations that were referred, and out of the 106, 33 were negative. Disciplinary steps were recommended, and on 73, disciplinary steps were not recommended. And on the recommendations finalized by the NPS, Chairperson, the total is 6 cumulatively, and the outcomes, we have 3 that were found guilty, not guilty is 1, no steps taken is 1, and case withdrawn is also 1. And on the sanctions, 1 member was dismissed from the service, and 1 final written warning, and the last one was a written warning. The next slide is on the criminal referrals forwarded to the NPA. We had a total of 2,426 dockers that were referred to the NPA, and out of the 2,426, we secured prosecution on 9, and 239, they declined to prosecute, and we are awaiting decision on 389, and 9 were withdrawn. And the next slide is on the criminal convictions that were secured in quarter four. It's 26 criminal convictions, Chairperson. And okay, on the nature of complaint, this is in line with the case classifications that we're investigating. The first one is death as a result of police action, where we secured, I will just mention a few there was a sentence to 8 years imprisonment, and also there was a sentence of 15 years imprisonment. For 15, I think we have about three chairperson, and for rape by police officer, whether on duty or off duty, we managed to secure a sentence to 10 years, which is direct imprisonment, and we also have 8 years and 7 years, and the other one is 5 years imprisonment. And the next one, on complaints of a discharge of an official firearm, chairperson, is two of them. There was a fine of 15,000, and the other one is sentenced to 12 months imprisonment or 6,000 fines. And on the assault common, chairperson, we secured, the first one is 18 months imprisonment, and we also have 12 months imprisonment. Most of them the sentence is for a specific month, chairperson. And for assault GBH, we managed to secure a sentence of 5 years, suspended for 2 years, and others it's 6 months imprisonment and also 3 months imprisonment. That is all under program two. Going to program three, legal and investigation advisor services, starting with our strategic indicator, percentage of legal advice provided to investigators before and after investigations. The target is 90, and we achieved 100%. All six requests that were received for legal advice were provided within the specified time frame. And going to the APP indicators under program three, the first one is legal advice provided to the Department on Litigation Matters within 12 working days. The target is 100%, and the output is 86%. 6 out of 7, we missed the target by 1. So the reason for not achieving the target is due to a mistaken computation on time and lack of supporting information by relevant stakeholder. And record keeping and activity tracking will be improved, chairperson, in this regard. And the next indicator is written legal advice provided to the department within 30 working days. The target is 70%, and the output is 100%. Target was exceeded due to effective monitoring processes. The same goes to the next indicator. The target was exceeded. We achieved 96%. That is for contracts and SLAs that were finalized within 30 working days. And going to the next slide on program four. Okay, program four, the strategic indicator, percentage implementation of integrated communication and stakeholder engagement strategy. Our target was 90% and we achieved 92%. The target was achieved. 10 out of 11 activities that were planned were achieved. Going to the next slide, this is our APP indicators under program four. The first one is number of community outreach events conducted per year. The target was 40 and it was exceeded. The output is 47 due to collaboration with other organizations in their events. Number of formal engagements held with key stakeholders. The target was 136. The output is 143. Target exceeded due to emergent need to engage with stakeholders. On the disciplinary recommendations referred to subs and NPS that are analyzed, the target was also exceeded. We analyzed 2,722 recommendations, and this is due to the fact that we received a higher number of recommendations that were submitted to subs than we expected. And for criminal referrals forwarded to the NPA that are analyzed, we analyzed 2,539. I guess the target of 748, target exceeded due to high number of referrals submitted to NPA than expected. The last three indicators under program 40%. The first one is responses from subs and NPS that are analyzed. The target is 70%.
and the output is 99%. The target was exceeded due to high number of recommendations submitted to SAPS than expected. And to the next one on the responses from NPA that are analyzed, the target is also 70% and the output 94%. The reason is due to high number of referrals submitted to the NPA than expected. And the last indicator on case docket inspections conducted, Chairperson, the annual target is 5, and for quarter 4, the target was 1, and the target was achieved. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Mima Zabe.
And honorable members, the chairperson is struggling with the network, so she has requested that as and when I'm doing that, honorable member. Somebody's making noise, and it just I don't know if that person is making noise. Thank you. DM?
Yes, Chair. Yes, thanks very much. That is the end of the presentation, Chair. Thanks for the opportunity you gave us so that we can make the presentation. And thanks to the ID for that. Thank you very much. The ED, I mean.
Thank you, DM and your team, and the ED for the presentation. I don't know whether members would want us also to deal with quarter one, or we just engage first on quarter four first. Can I get people? Okay, Whitfield, I see Honorable Whitfield here.
Thank you very much.
Woodfield.
Thank you, Chair. If possible, I'd like to proceed with some questions on the report, but it's entirely up to you whether we proceed with quarter one. If you can give us an indication if we can proceed with questions.
No, it's fine. Let's ask the question so that we don't confuse. Let me note hands first, because I see there are people who have raised hands here. I have noted Honorable Whitfield, and then it is Honorable Shembeni, isn't it?
Chairperson, can we ask that the presentation be removed from the screen, please?
Yes. And then I see Honorable Reverend Mishwe. I see Honorable Tara Blanche. Those are the hands that I can see for now. If I don't see any other hand, comrades, please inform me.
My hand, Chairperson, Honorable Majos.
Mkaya man, sorry. Honorable Majosi. I therefore recognize Honorable Whitfield.
You're not recognizing me.
Hey man, this thing I don't know how to say. Okay, Honorable Fakwa, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. No chat. Is there any other hand? Okay, let's start, Honorable Whitfield.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to the IPED team for the presentations. Chairperson, we We consistently as a committee have raised our concerns about the underperformance of IPID, to a large extent not IPID's fault, but because of under-resourcing, specifically underfunding and the inability to employ sufficient investigators of the right skill in order to complete investigations to decision-ready status. Now, Chair, in the Section 9N report, which was published recently in Parliament, which reflected on a six-month period of last year, we see a worrying trend, which we raised the flag on last year and we continue to raise as a committee, which is that IPID simply cannot get to all the cases in a speedy fashion or in a time frame required to ensure accountability that will strike fear into the hearts of corrupt and criminal police officers. So what is happening is that we have a rise in cases being reported to SAPS, which is a reflection, reported to IPID rather, which is a reflection of the impunity with which police officers appear to operate and the inability of IPID to deal with the backlog of cases. Now, in that Section 9N report, there were 2,806 cases that were reported on, and only 757 were classified as decision ready. That's only 27% of total cases referred in that period, which were fully investigated to decision ready status. So I just want a response specifically from the ED of IPID as to what measures she is taking to try and get more support and more funding to ensure that IPID can be more responsive in dealing with complaints and holding the police accountable. The other issue, Chair, that requires a response is whether the ED has familiarized herself with the APCOF report, which was published, I think, in February this year and circulated to this committee. There are a number of recommendations, and two of them I have specific interest in. The one is a recommendation to IPID that a screening system be developed in order to prioritize the most urgent investigations to ensure that the most serious crimes committed by police officers are dealt with expeditiously. That is one of the recommendations. I'm interested to know whether IPID has developed such a screening system and are prioritizing cases according to an established screening system. The other is a recommendation, which is really a concern that I've raised before, which is that there is insufficient explanation as to why the NPA declines to prosecute a number of cases. And we saw in the one slide, I think they said 2,500 cases referred to the NPA, but when the breakdown is put on the screen, that breakdown doesn't equate to the total number referred. And we need an explanation as to why the NPA is declining to prosecute cases referred so that we can understand whether it's the quality of the investigations or what the reasons are so that we can investigate it thoroughly and ensure that we close that loophole of accountability to support IPID in their efforts to improve accountability in the police. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Whitfield. Honorable Shembeni.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. DM and our executive director. Mine is to find out, since Honorable Whitfield spoke about the underperforming of the directorate, specifically on the call service delivery program of investigation and information management. I just wanted to find out exactly the cause, if IPID can give us exactly the reason why they are underperforming in such an important target. Number two, I wanted to find out about the implementation of this Section 23. Of the IPID Act of 2011, that will it attract or retain investigators in the directorate. Because I can see now that the implementation is bringing some lot of changes, and we've been looking as to for it to be implemented as soon as possible. Number three, can the directorate provide us with the number of backlog cases in all categories of investigation? And then lastly, I wanted to talk about the killing of investigators. What does the directorate have in place to protect our investigators in this directorate? Because I've noticed in the past that the investigators are being killed. Is this because of political interference or what? It's just that I wanted to find out. We do have members, they don't resign, they don't get killed for investigating other police officers and other stakeholders. Thank you very much.
Are you done?
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm done.
Honorable Mr. Chair.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you,
Chairperson, and greetings to all members and the DM. My first question also has to do with the underperformance. Under administration, we realized that they only managed to reach 3 out of 7 targets. Now, what would be the reason for that? On other issues, you exceed your targets. But under administration, it is the targets are not met, not even 50%. You only have managed 43%. Does it have anything to do with the capacity, or what can be the reason, and how are you planning to correct that underperformance? My other question has to do with setting targets. Is there a way of knowing if you are setting your targets too low or too high? How do you balance that? And how do you prioritize cases that cause you to exceed targets? What are you looking for specifically to be able to decide which case we are prioritizing and which one we are not prioritizing? My next question also has to do with the NPA declining to prosecute. Now, in such cases, do you have a recourse if you disagree with the NPA because the cases you forwarded to them you believe are watertight and they decline to prosecute? Do you just leave it at that, or what do you do? Do you have any way of appealing their decision, or what do you do? And the last one for now, it's surprising to see the conviction for rape by police to be average less than 10 years. And I think police, because they're people of the law, they're people that should be exemplary, their conviction rates should be much harsher and stiffer sentences than what we are seeing. So what do you think are reasons why the conviction rate for rape by the police are under 10 years? Because there should be a minimum sentencing, particularly for the police, because we do not expect police to be involved in such criminal matters. There are people, ladies, who are raped when they go to open cases, which is totally unacceptable. So what are the reasons? Are you following up to find out why are the conviction rates so low and the sentences they are getting also low? I would like to know why. Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm done.
Honorable Sarah Blanche.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, I also want to start with the underperformance, and I think it was broadly covered already by the other members, but Chairperson, what worries me is that, you know, continuously over years, a department managed to spend its budget. But also then, there's a continuous underperformance by the department, and it doesn't make sense. And I just want to understand what exactly is the cause of that. Chairperson, then some of the targets that were not achieved included investigators receiving specialized training. They haven't been able to give the people the training. And really, that doesn't make sense. People need to be able to, you know, they must be trained properly to do their work. Chairperson, then the other big thing here is the problem and the ongoing problem with accommodation for this department. It's a bit confusing. Apparently, people are busy litigations. And my first question is, are they litigating with Public Works as well? Or who is litigating with who, and who's paying the expenses? And what can be done to sort this problem out? Chairperson, then again, also back to finance, there is a problem with the overspending of compensation budget, and then it's indicated it's due to bonuses. Who got that bonuses, and why are the bonuses then not within the budget? Chairperson, and the vehicles got bought at the latest stage. So I am a bit at the miss why the overspending, you know, there's an overspending, and yet people are not performing their job. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Majozi. Honorable Majozi.
Yes, thank you, Chair. Greetings to honorable members, the DM, and also the executives from IPID. No, firstly, Chairperson, let us welcome the presentation that we have received from IPID, and also say that obviously we are not happy with the performance of the IPID, and it's not for this quarter only or for now. It's an inheritance that has been happening. Chairperson, on the presentation, they spoke of prioritized cases. I just wanted to find out, because it's not specified, which cases were prioritized and how did they get the prioritization in IPID, and how severe the cases were in that. And also, we didn't get which cases happened during the COVID, or maybe we're still going to get that presentation, so that we understand during COVID, these were the cases that the IP received, and then before COVID, and then the backlog as well, on how far they are with the backlog. On their presentation, Chairperson, on program 4, it said that death in police custody, I think number 2 of it, and then it says that there's a 2,000 fine. I'm not sure that 2,000 fine, what is it for? Is it for a policeman that has killed someone in their custody, or can we get an explanation on that one, Chairperson? And also to say, Chair, that can they give us a clarity on when can we expect that the backlog cases will be done, and when can we expect that IP will be able to solve all cases? Because now they're mentioning all these cases. Yes, it might be cases that maybe have been registered, but they do know as well that it's difficult for a person to go to a police station and lodge a complaint against another police officer, because we know that obviously they will not allow him or her to do that. We've received those cases that people are now, they don't want to go to police stations because they are not receiving any help from police stations. So if we can get a clear direction of where we are going and what is the IP strategy to make sure that they fulfill their mandate. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself, to Deputy Minister, Honourable Members, and all officials present. Chairperson, let us welcome the presentation that has been presented by IPED. I think it's important for us to note that there's a high number of cases that have been reported. I think perhaps, although we don't want any brutality against our people, but we must also look at the positive of it, that these cases are indeed reported. There's transparency as we're moving forward. I think we need to know that as well. But also let us also acknowledge the case of that Rado boy from Gauteng. I think he's a young man, I think he's 12, who was killed by the police. But let us appreciate also the response from the court that those police did not receive any bail. Secondly, the past week, I think the IPED head has launched a toll-free line, I think, which we should celebrate, because I could see that on social media that everyone is aware. And I think also as members of parliament, we have received that communication that whenever there's police brutality, people must report. I think as we're moving towards the fourth industrial revolution, let us, the innovative part of IPED, to create this hotline for everyone in South Africa to be able to report police brutality. I think that we need to applaud as a committee that at least there's transparency when it comes to that. And I'm also happy to share that in this period, IPED is also amending the Act, and I hope that as the Act is amended, part of the Act must also involve all police, whether it's Metro Police, whether it's City Police, they must be able to report. The IPED must be able to investigate issues of police in the country. And I hope that as the Act is amended by them, that part is not forgotten. Chair, I want to also raise the concern that Honorable Terry Blanche has raised, to say that the IPED, the training of investigators, if we can perhaps get clarity on that, why were investigators not trained? Is it because it's COVID, as people would say? But I think that is really needed, that investigators need to get proper training. As we know that here we are dealing with police, and if a specialized training is not offered to these investigators, we'll always have backlogs. But also I see there's a high number of legal services that have been paid during the COVID-19. Perhaps if we can get an explanation of what is happening there. Also the ICT implementation plan. This is one target, even when it comes to the department itself, you never achieve us. Can we get an explanation? Why is the ICT implementation plan still, this target is not met? What are the reasons? Is it capacity within? I know that you would always raise the issue of CETA. If we can get those answers, please, Chair. And then I'll come back again, Chair. Thanks.
Thanks, honorable members. The issues that I also wanted to raise, other honorable members raised, but I have one or two clarity-seeking questions that maybe the directorate can be able to assist me. One is the one that deals with the vehicle fleet, that what made them to delay procuring or purchasing
the fleet, and it was only purchased on the last five from the 2019-2020 financial year, which was March. The second one is the dependency on the external implementing the risk management strategies, and we're depending on the external. That we depend externally. Can we just get the reasons that why, or is it because of the questions that have been raised of the lack of funding, which really I say we appreciate and welcome the presentation and the work well done, where you have performed very well. We know that you are still new, the executive director, but when you take over as a leader, you expect to run very fast. But I must also join Honorable Fako that what I saw, it is not last week, is this week, Honorable Fako, where it was, I'm not if I'm correct, where the hotline was launched. That means it is now having, is going to reach our people easily, and we hope it will assist with dealing with rogue elements within our good police service. Thank you. DM?
Thank you very much, Chair, for those questions from members. I'll request that we allow the executive director to lead in responding to the questions together with her team. The executive director, through you, Chair.
Executive director. Unmute, ma'am. Unmute, ma'am. We can't hear you. What's happening? Can somebody try to get the ED, or it's only me? Can you hear me, honorable members?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Can somebody get hold of the ED?
Chairperson. The ED must put on a video, please, if she speaks. A mic is unmuted already. Thank you.
She must put off the video.
No, she must put on the video. She's got it there. She's on. She must now just speak.
ED, can you hear us?
Hey. I just received a message from IPD. They are experiencing network challenges.
Well, I'm not DM. Can you assist us? Is there any somebody who's there, or they're in one office?
Chairperson.
Yes.
Chairperson, I'm trying to assist them on the other side, ne?
Okay. Let's give you 2 minutes.
So today you are in charge of the technology, Whip.
Hey, you know, you learn every day, you know.
Yeah, they're connected.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
We can hear you. Chair, they are ready.
Yes, they can proceed.
Proceed, Edi.
Chairperson.
Yes, Patrick. Proceed. DM.
Okay. I wonder what is the problem now, because they've connected using a different gadget altogether. Let me see what's the problem.
Chairperson?
Yes. I can hear you. I can come and assist Honorable Fago taught me how to do this thing.
Yes. Jay, can you hear me now?
Very well. Loud and clear.
Jay, can you hear me now?
Loud and clear.
Yes. Okay.
Proceed. Yes.
Okay, no, it's fine. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will, together with my team, we will strive to answer all the questions. Let's just start with Honorable Whitfield's questions around underperformance, whether we employ sufficient investigators to deal with the backlog of cases, and what measures do we have, what measures did we put in place to deal with those cases. Chairperson, I think our improvement will only be shown in quarter three, because I just came in August, and there are things that we have identified jointly with the management of IPIT to say, how do we begin to deal with issues of backlog in cases? One example, which I think we will also present a detailed report as to what measures did we put in place to deal with the cases, but one would bring to your attention that we are in the process of employing the retired detectives to assist us with the backlog of those cases, just to look at all the cases that we have and see what are the challenges in those cases and how can we then beef up information or evidence so that we prepare them for re-prosecution. But two, it's the question around quality, because one of the things that I've seen is that we've got so many cases which were declined for prosecution. And in my meeting with the NDPP, the National Director of Public Prosecution, she indicated issues around quality, how our dockets are crafted and how we don't have sufficient evidence. Therefore, Chairperson, we're also going to introduce a team of I call them legal quality assurance. Before a case is sent it's sent for prosecution, what must happen is that that team of quality assurance will look at the dockets themselves, peruse them, make sure that information is sufficient enough or prepare them for prosecution, make sure that all other loopholes that are identified in the cases are addressed before a case can be sent to NPA. So I think it's important that we have that number of people. So one of the things that we're also doing internally is to realign ourselves, because I realize that most of the people are in different units, and we can also use their skills to assist us to deal with some of the backlogs that we are currently having. And then two, it's around APCOF report. Yes, we have seen an APCOF report. I would like Mr. Hifelakai just to give us the indication with regards to the two recommendations made by IPCOF report. One is around the screening or a screening process for prioritized cases. That thank you, Felika. Can you just respond to that?
Thanks, Chairperson. Indeed, several engagements were held with IPCOF. And that in terms of the screening, we have agreed that we have to explore their input in relation to what they refer to as a barometer. A barometer is a system that they envisage that it could be of help to IPED, and then that presentation on the barometer, looking at it, it's something that if adopted and implemented can assist us to also be able to do the prioritization of cases. So we have still agreed that because as we were discussing, we realized that it's not going to be an overnight thing. It's going to be a long-term arrangement because of the way it has to be developed and the implementation thereof. So it's not something that can be realized overnight, but we agreed that we'll keep on engaging to a point where now we will start seeing the real development of the system. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Mr. Thank you very much. And then with regards to the decline of cases by NPA, I've already indicated, Chairperson, that it has to do with the quality of the investigation. When I was discussing with the NTPP, she indicated to me that the quality of cases that are brought to them, those cases does not warrant proper prosecution. Therefore, we are in the process of introducing a measure, which is something that we'll be doing by end of October, where we hire the legal quality assurers, looking at every cases that are going to be sent to them. And also those cases that are old, that were declined for prosecution, we're also going to reopen them so that we look at the cases and see what are the challenges in those cases and how do we improve that performance. So as this collective in the department, we are also coming up with a criteria. But that criteria will be informed by our legal team to say, when we say a case is it's not a quality case, what exactly does it lack? So these are the things that we are looking at internally. But I think by the end of October, we would have identified the criteria to move forward in terms of those cases. But at the same time, we also need capacity to assist us in terms of looking at all the cases that are declined for prosecution and all the cases that that are in backlog that were never given any attention. So this is what we are going to be doing. And then I think I've also answered the question by Member Shembeni in relation to underperformance. Yes, we have challenges in relation to underperformance, but like I'm saying, we are reorganizing ourselves internally to make sure that we improve our performance, because I also realize that. But my concern is more about the quality of work that we are doing. And I hope once we have explored that, we will be able to improve performance. And the results will be more visible in quota 3, because there are measures that we are putting in place to deal with underperformance. And I have said to managers, at least from now on, we need not wait for a quota to end, but I want a monthly plan to measure performance and see how best can we do that. Already, most of them have submitted catch-up plans to say, how are we going to make sure that we are able to meet our targets? Because these targets are as a result of the baseline. So surely as an institution, we should be able to improve our performance. So I'm giving an assurance to that. And then with regards to Section 23 investigators, the money that is being paid there, I think we need to get an explanation from Mr. Kifelakai to say what money is that and what have we done in relation to that.
Chairperson Setsedi, Chairperson, with regard to Section 23, by the end of the financial year, that is under review, we were able to pay all active investigators. And in the current financial year, we are currently busy paying the exceeded members. There's a calculation that has been done, which then requires an amount of 9 million for exceeded members. And we are currently making sure that the 9 million is identified in order to pay the exceeded members. We have already settled their pension liabilities, both exceeded members as well as the active members. As we are speaking, the exceeded members are in contact with GIPA in order to make sure that their pension liabilities are allocated. But as far as active members are concerned, their pension liabilities have also been settled. So we are finalizing. So currently we are finalizing the exceeded members. Thank you, Chairperson, this Section 23, as we have indicated before, is a section in the Act that requires IPT to pay our investigators on par with SAPS detective. Then we met with SAPS. We then evaluate the condition of services, and we came back, costed all the benefits related to condition of services, and identified the amount in order to make sure that we comply with the parity that the Section 23 is referring to. Thanks, Chairperson.
And then, Chair, with regards to backlog cases, the number of backlog cases, Mr. Kifelakai is taking us through.
Thanks, Chairperson. Let me start off by saying, Chairperson, that year on year, IPIT is receiving a high intake of cases, and that as a result, at the end of every financial year, we find ourselves having a high number of cases that needs to be carried over. To be precise, that in the previous financial year, a total of 9,112 cases that were active. I'm referring only to active cases, cases that still needs to be investigated. So it was a total of 9,112. But Chairperson, let me also indicate that in the process, there were other cases, of course, that were regarded as decision ready. And those cases are at a total of 21,284, which then leads to a total of 32,213. So that's the total of cases that we are having, because many of those cases that I've mentioned as post decisions are in court. They are the court going cases. Hence, you might have noticed that there are sentences that we were able to secure. And some, of course, are those that have been referred to the SAPS for internal steps to be taken. Thank you.
Chair, with regards to underperformance, one would also attribute it to the capacity in the department itself. We are currently at 391. We are only 391, and we have come up with innovative ways of wanting to augment our capacity. What we have done is to also engage your national, as part of our youth development strategy, we have engaged the National Youth Development Agency to assist us with engaging your students, final year students, particularly those that are doing law, forensics, as well as national policing diplomas, to come and join us so that they can, one, gain their own experience here. Two, is to also improve in terms of quality of cases. Three, is to also assist us with dealing with some of the backlog cases. But more than anything else, we are using ourselves as a training ground to ensure that they also get the required knowledge that they would want to use ultimately as they go out and be employed in the job market. But I just hope that with quarter three, our performance will improve because of the systems that we have put in place to deal with underperformance. And then our underperformance, these figures, we did not sustain them. It is on the basis of the baseline from the previous years. Hence, we had set the targets that we are having. But we are striving, Chairperson, that at least by the end of that quarter, we would improve tremendously so, because we realize that there are shortfalls in achieving our own targets. The conviction of police, why is it low? I think, Chairperson, I must be honest, we have not yet engaged on this matter. I think what we need to do is to go back to the national prosecutor, just to NPA, just to check why are the convictions of SAPS members very low in comparison to your ordinary member, Chairperson. So we will just go back and do some comparative studies and understand the reasons as to why that situation. And I hear a member Chairperson is also raising an issue around underperformance. We will certainly try and improve in relation to our performance, because it's also a worrying factor for us. And I hope that this financial year we will definitely make a difference based on the plan that we have set in place to improve performance. And then with regards to training, sufficient training, I think why did we not implement training for our own members? I would ask Ntateki Felakai to also talk to that, because I think it's also important.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. During the period of the third quarter in the previous financial year, we had planned to run a training, particularly the POCA and PRECA, that deals with issues of corruption. But at the time when we were supposed to have that training intervention, the external service provider, which is the Justice College at the time, they indicated that they did not have space at a particular time. And then we deferred it to another period, which was still in the third quarter. But then in the last minute, they indicated that they were still not available. But then during the fourth quarter, Chairperson, that's where now the management took a decision that it wouldn't be ideal at that time to run any course or training intervention at the time, because it was during the festive season, and coming out of the festive season, Chairperson, you'd recall that you find that there are a lot of cases on the table that needed to be dealt with at the time, Chairperson. And then a resolution was taken that at least during the first quarter of the current financial year, training will be prioritized. And indeed, Chairperson, at the time, there was a training plan that was developed and approved just prior to the commencement of the new financial year, which is the current financial year. But unfortunately, at the time when we want to roll out that training intervention, we had a challenge because COVID had already overtaken our plans, Chairperson. But it is on the pipeline, Chairperson, that those training interventions should take place in this current financial year still, Chairperson. I thank you.
And Member Majoza raised issues around, we've noted her comment around unhappiness in relation to our performance. We will certainly improve on that, member. Which cases are prioritized and what is the criteria that we are using? I think Mr. Teke Felakai will also talk to that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, we acknowledge that we do have an acute shortage of personnel, and we also take into cognizance the vastness of our areas and the high intake of cases. But Chairperson, be that it may be the decision that the department took was that There are other cases that are more serious. They are of a serious nature. And I will give an example, Chairperson. You've got a case of death in police custody that needs to be prioritized. You have got the death as a result of police action. You have got a case, Chairperson, where the police would have used a firearm, where there is that complaint of discharge of official firearm. You have got cases of rape, Chairperson. You have got corruption, and you have got torture. And then you have got a high intake of assault cases as compared to the rest, Chairperson. So the decision that we took was that perhaps maybe given the fact that we are so thin in terms of the human personnel, human resource, we had to ensure that those cases that are of serious nature, and particularly those that are like your contact crime, such as your murder and rape, must be prioritized as compared to assault, particularly the common assault. So that's how we looked at it, Chairperson, and then we took a decision that we will prioritize that, that as and when we receive a death case, then we will run with speed and swiftly to ensure that that case is resolved. We acknowledge on the other side, Chairperson, that from time to time we would have gathered all the information that is needed to finalize the case, but only to find that we are dependent, for instance, on other key stakeholders such as the health department, where we would have the delay in postmortems and ballistic reports from the subs labs, as they are also overwhelmed, also including the DNA, the histology and the toxicology. So those are some of the things that would then somehow frustrate us in terms of finalizing some of the cases. But I want to say, Chairperson, that the relationship and the engagement with the key stakeholders is ongoing, and we are able to make inroads in many of these challenges that we are facing. Thank you, Chairperson.
And then, Chair, with regards to the ongoing accommodation problem of public works, I request that the CFO answers on that. What are the challenges in relation to accommodation problem? CFO?
Thank you very much, Executive Director. Maybe let me start with the first question that Honorable Blanche asked, to say we spend 100% of our budget. However, it's not linked to the performance. I think there what I want to just add, Executive Director, is that normally, because of underfunding, we start each year with accruals, which then becomes the first charge against the budget. So you'll find that in most instances, our budget already, when we start the financial year, it's already reduced by the amount of accruals. And then on accommodation, Chairperson, I can report that the matter of national office accommodation is resolved. The landlord has confirmed that by the 4th of December, the building, the new building, should be ready for occupation by the IPIT. Thanks, Executive Director.
ED. ED. ED.
Executive Director, are you still presenting, or what is happening? Because we were still listening. They just finished and we thought you are taking over. We can't hear you, unmute. Unmute. Yeah. It said use your phone, because you were using your phone to talk that time.
back now. ED?
Use your phone because we can't hear her.
Okay.
Yeah, they are connecting the phone, Chair. But okay. If I may, Chair, while they are busy with their phone, just to confirm and agree with the question that was.
Chair, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay. With regards to overspending of budget, who got the bonus? That member Ter Blanche was asking that. I would request the CFO to...
Chairperson?
Yes.
Okay, just to respond on the overspending on compensation of employees, just to clarify there, the overspending is not as a result of payment of bonuses. It was as a result of paying Section 23, implementing Section 23 in line with the court order. So I thought I should just clarify that it was not as a result of paying bonuses to staff, but it was the department complying with the court order with regards to implementing Section 23 for our investigators. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, if they are done, DM. Are you done, ED? ED is busy there.
Yeah.
Chairman.
Sorry, Chair, we're actually struggling with the network here. So we are moving around to answer the questions.
Okay.
With regards to legal services, why have we exceeded? Member Faku was asking why the high number of litigation costs. So I will just send over to our legal services head to just answer on that matter.
Unmute, Mama Wolo. Unmute.
Wawana DM Nagibe Dere.
Yeah, no, you're better.
Yeah.
Unmute your microphone. You are muted, Mama Wolo. Yeah.
There you are. Aye, aye, aye.
Aye, she said, you should be on the phone, man. Aye, it's going to never rain. No, I think, Chair.
Kuro, move away, guy.
No, they must use the, maybe they must close their camera and talk because they were audible a bit without their camera.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, they've
Mama Bolo. Mama Bolo.
Dear Mama, I'm not the only
one. Yeah, you are not the only one, Chair. It's the Shumishang phone. Use your phone. Yeah, their phone gets kicked out, and we accept them when they die.
The host should do that, please.
Dial six. Yeah, Chair, I because they were talking to the last question. that was raised by Honorable Faku. So if we can agree, we go for the next round, but when they come on board, they will start with Honorable Faku. But I wanted to say, Chair, that in the course of responding to the questions raised, particularly by Honorable Shembeni, they did not respond appropriately to his question on Section 23 and the retention of investigators. Yes, indeed, the implementation of this court order, the Section 23, it has made the investigators within IPED very, very happy, because there was a lot of discomfort because of this disparity in terms of their salaries and the salaries that are paid to in their counterparts in SAPS. So this then sort of equalized that imbalance. And there was a lot of excitement within the IPED, particularly the investigators, who then that they will be fairly compensated for their work. Yes, indeed, Honorable Shembeni, this contributed towards the retaining investigators within IP, because there was no difference. That disparity was dealt with. I thought I needed to talk to that and to confirm that, yes, indeed, it has helped to retain investigators within the space. Thank you very much, Chair.
Are you there, Executive Director or Sateri?
Chairperson?
Now you are deaf, Chairperson. I wanted to hand over to you.
Yes, could we please start with the presentation of quarter one in the meantime? Thank you very much for chairing. DM, is it possible for us to start with quarter one presentation?
Yes, I think we can. We can, Chair. We can. I think if it can be flighted, we can do.
We can do quarter one presentation, and then we'll take those questions if their connection is stabilized.
Yes. Yes, we can. Can we get it flighted?
Yes.
Could we have the quarter one presentation, please? Dr. Kinnis, could you indicate who has quarter one presentation?
We just have to ask the Bulba to flight it for us, G. Thank you.
Yeah. Tim, who's going to do this?
I think let me talk to it while they are trying to get on board, Chair.
Is that Tim? You may proceed. I think we have to continue, or else we'll run out of time.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, the slide 2 talks to the index, and I think we can pass that, is self-explanatory. Then the overview is slide 3. Implementation of Section 23 of IPED Act remains a priority. Pension liability balance of 22.1 million and 20 million of backdated payments for level 9 to 14 were paid. Throughout the lockdown, throughout the lockdown period, the department was operating and measures were implemented to maintain the spread of the virus. A total of 1.2 million was spent on procurement of PPEs. Case intake in quarter one was 1,615, with 1,166 complaints related to assault, The total case workload by end of quarter one was 9,122. Or IPID in conjunction with the Civilian Secretariat for Police is currently in the process of finalizing the IPID Act Amendment Bill. An action plan was developed to monitor the amendment processes. Next slide. This slide talks to the budget and expenditure information. If you look on the left-hand side where it talks to description, these are programs and the allocated amounts as indicated there, starting with administration, investigation and information management, trial and investigation advisory services, compliance monitoring and stakeholder management. And it then talks to the adjusted budget and the cumulative, it talks to the cumulative expenditure, available budget and percentages of the actual expenditure visa, and then it goes to commitments, percentages, including commitments, and it outlines for the different programs what was allocated, what has been spent, and the percentage of what has been spent. And at the bottom, it outlines the total amount that has been allocated, which is 355 million, and the cumulative expenditure of that 355 is 106, and the available budget is 249. The percentage of actual expenditure is 29%, and the commitment is 14%. Percentages including commitments, it comes to 33.9%. Can we move to the next slide? This is budget and expenditure information continued, talking to the description and programs. And in this regard, we are talking to compensation of employees, the adjusted budget of that 242. The expenditure cumulative is 88 million, and the available budget is 154, which means we have spent 36%. Transfer and subsidies is 820, expenditure zero.
My apologies, Dim. Could the iPad collective mute their mics now?
Are they connected?
Yes, I can hear them.
Yeah, I think if they are connected, we can allow...
Can they continue?
Could I send you the link?
Transfers and subsidies, as I said, there is no expenditure there. Goods and services, it's 106 million. We have spent 14. And what is available is 91 million with 14% expenditure. And households that transfer is 110. We have transferred 90, and expenditure is 81%. Machinery and equipment is 5.9. We have spent 2.8. The available budget is 2.6. We have spent 51% of the budget. And cumulatively, out of the 355, we have spent 106. What is available is 249. Percentage in terms of spending is 29%. And the commitment is 14, which brings us to 33.3%. I will allow the team to proceed with slide number 6 presentation, budget and the expenditure information. Over to you, Executive Director. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. With regard to budget information, I will request CFO to continue on the budget and expenditure information.
Thank you very much, Executive Director. Chairperson, just to continue on what the DM was saying, the slide number six is just providing an explanation. The first point there, we are just saying, as at 30 June 2020, the department reported a cumulative expenditure of 106 million against the annual budget of 355.6. And then the reported actual expenditure, it translates to 29.98% against a target of 25%. So which means for quarter one, we overspent by 4.98%, mainly due to Section 23, which was implemented in quarter one. And then for program one, we spent an expenditure of just above 18 million from a allocation of 100.9 million, which translated to 17.86 against a percentage of 25. So program one, it underspent mainly because of the impact of COVID-19 lockdown. We can move to the next slide. On the next slide, Chairperson, we are just providing details in terms of the implementation of Section 23, which was done in the first quarter of 2020-21. So we commenced with the implementation of Section 23 during 2019-20 financial year. And then the implementation was done in phases due to financial constraints. So phase one, we implemented for active investigators. And then phase two will be focusing on exited members as well as beneficiaries of deceased members. So phase one implementation, it was done at the beginning of 2020-21 financial year. And we are currently in the process of implementing phase two, which relates to exited members. So the table there, Honorable Chair, it just gives an indication how much we've paid to date as a department in implementing Section 23. So we paid a total of 94.5 million overall when we are implementing Section 23, which Chairperson, I must also emphasize that we paid this amount from the savings that we were able to realize as a department and from reprioritizing our budget so that we are able to comply with the court order and implement Section 23 for our investigators. So that is the presentation on expenditure, Chairperson. Thank you.
We are now continuing with the operational performance of the directorate. Ms. Litapo will take us through.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. We are starting with the summary of our performance information, our overall departmental performance, starting with program one. Targets that are on track or achieved. The reason why we're saying on track or achieved is because some of the indicators, they do not have quarterly targets, but they have annual targets, but we are monitoring progress. So based on the performance or the level of performance during the period under review, we are then able to make a determination as to whether the performance is on track or not. Now for program one, it's only one target that was on track against a total of five, which is 20%. And for program two, it's also one target that was on track. I think a total of 15 targets, the performance was at 8%. And for our program three, all targets for the period under review were on track at 8%. All four targets were on track. And for the compliance monitoring and stakeholder management, two out of eight targets were on track, and that is 8%. Targets that were on track. And in respect of the overall departmental performance, we are sitting at 27%, Chairperson. Eight targets were on track against a total of 30. Going to the next slide, this is our performance per program, starting with program one. The first target for implementation of ICT infrastructure, the performance was off track. We were at 0%, and the comments under comments they were saying lockdown level 5 affected implementation of activities. Lockdown level 5 affected implementation. Okay. Let me lockdown level affected implementation activities for the first quarter. Priority was given to procurement of tools of trade and upgrade of network to enable remote working and other activities get added to the next quarter. And with regards to implementation of annual internal audit plan, the output is 5%. Only one activity was achieved during the period under review. The internal audit plan was adopted by the audit committee on the 11th of June 2020. That left internal audit with only 1 month to implement their activities. And reports for the outstanding activities will be finalized in quarter two. And with regards to implementation of risk mitigation strategies, Chairperson, our performance was at 13%, and 3 out of 23 were fully implemented. And implementation of mitigation strategies was still in progress by the end of quarter one. And progress will be monitored monthly to improve performance to ensure attainment of the annual target of 60%. And with regards to compliance of SMS financial interest submitted through the e-disclosure, the target is 100% Chairperson, and the output is 97%. 29 out of 30 SMS members submitted their financial interest to, within the prescribed time frame. The one official who did not submit within the prescribed time frame indicated that they had submitted on the 1st of April. However, the system's audit trail did not support that. Now, the official subsequently submitted the disclosure after the closing date. It was in May, Chairperson. And the matter was also referred to the labor relations. And the next target on vacancy rate per year is achieved. Our vacancy rate was below 10% by end of quarter one. Going to program two, the first output indicator is on investigations of death in police custody that are decision ready. Our annual target is 180 and Q1 target is 20 and the output is 19. The target was missed only by one. And the next indicator is on investigations of death as a result of police action that are decision ready. The target for quarter one is 40 and the output was 21. And the reason the targets are not met, Chairperson, is due to lockdown restrictions during levels 4 and 5. Interaction with complainants and stakeholders was disrupted. Also, the temporary closure of police stations and forensic science lab affected the completion of cases. And planned engagements with subs, provincial and national stakeholders, which is our subs and Department of Health, on technical reports. And on the investigations of discharge of an official firearm, the target for quarter one is 80 and the output is 51. With investigations of rape by police officer, the target is 20 and the output is 6. Investigations of rape while in police custody, the quarter one target is 4 and the output is 2. The targets were not met, Chairperson. It's also due to the lockdown restrictions during level 4 and 5, which affected the interactions with complainants and stakeholders. And in addition, technical reports could not be processed timely due to delays and backlog at the respective laboratories. And deployment and also redeployment of police officers also affected the investigation process. And we have planned engagements with sub-provincial and national stakeholders on technical reports so that we can make follow-ups in that regard. And on investigations of torture, the target was 15 and our output was 12. Investigations of assault, the target for quarter one is 500 and the output was 176. With regards to corruption investigations, The quarter one target is 15 and the output is 5. The targets were not achieved 10%, and the reason still is due to the restrictions during level 4 and level 5. And alternative ways to gather witness statements without compromising their health at 10% is one of the interventions that we are implementing. And the next indicator is on investigations of Section 28(1)(h) matters. And the target for quarter one is 4, the output was 3. And with regards to Section 33 matters, sorry, Chairperson, I was disconnected there. I was on Section 28(1)(h). The quarter one target is 4, output was 3, and Section 33 matters, the target was 10, and we completed 3 matters. And this was also due to the lockdown restrictions during level 4 and 5. And alternative ways to gather witness statements without compromising their health is the interventions that we'll be implementing. And the next slide is the number of approved systemic corruption investigations that are decision ready. This indicator, Chairperson, does not have a quarterly target. It only has an annual target, but the investigation is still in progress, and progress is being monitored. And with regards to percentage of dockets that are referred to NPA within 30 days, the output was 74% against the target of 90%. And the target was not achieved due to temporary closure of some of the provincial offices for disinfection of offices, including the NPA. And there's also continuous engagement with the relevant stakeholders to ensure that when we are ready to submit our reports, the offices are open. And the last one, the last indicator is on the disciplinary recommendations referred to staff and MPS within 30 days. The output Chairperson was 67% against the target of 90%. And the reason for non-achievement is also due to temporary closures of some of the provincial offices for disinfection of offices, and also including the NPA. And there's a continuous engagement at Chairperson with the provincial offices. The next slide is on the negative and positive recommendations that were referred to the SAP during quarter one. We had a total of 263, and 172 were positive recommendations where disciplinary steps were not recommended, and we had 91 negative recommendations. And out of the 91 negative recommendations, 22 disciplinary processes were initiated, but were not yet finalized by end of quarter one. And the next slide is on disciplinary processes that were finalized by SAP. During the period under review, we had 14 matters where disciplinary processes were finalized. And this is for matters that were submitted in the previous financial years, but the disciplinary process was finalized during quarter one, Chairperson. And we have 5 guilty that were found guilty, 1 not guilty, 8 no steps taken, and case withdrawn, there's none. There is a total of 14. And on the 5 that were found guilty, we have 4 written warnings and 1 salary suspension. On the next slide is the negative and positive recommendations referred to the Metro Police Services. We had only 2 matters by the end of quarter one, and no disciplinary steps were not initiated by the end of quarter one. And the next slide is on the dockets referred to the NPA. We had a total of 215, and 3 the MPA decided to prosecute and declined to prosecute is 63, and we're still awaiting decision on 149 matters. And during the period under review, Chairperson, a total of 15 departmental convictions were secured for recommendations referred in the previous financial years, where we secured 1 corrective counseling, 3 suspensions, 2 final written warnings, and 9 written warnings. And with regards to criminal convictions, the 2 were secured during the period under review, and the sentencing is 20 years for murder and 10 years for attempted murder, which will both run concurrently. And the last one is the sentencing is 10 years imprisonment for kidnapping, 12 years for assault, GBH, 12 years for corruption, 8 years for defeating the ends of justice, and 10 years for intimidation. All sentences Chairperson will run concurrently, therefore the accused will serve 12 years. The next slide is Program 3 performance, our legal and investigation advisory services. The first indicator on legal advice provided to investigators within 2 working days of receipt, the target is 90 and the output reported is 100% is 2 matters that were received. And for written legal advice provided to the department within 30 working days, Chairperson, the target is 70% and the output is 84 out of 5 matters were finalized within the stipulated time frame. And with respect to percentage of litigation matters referred with instructions to the state attorney within, I think it's 10 working days, we omitted the time frame there. Q1 target is 100% and the output is 100%. It was only one matter that we dealt with during the period under review. Percentage of contracts or service level agreements finalized within 30 working days, the target is 90% and the output reported is 100% per person. Now we are moving to Program 4, Compliance Monitoring and Stakeholder Management. On the number of community outreach events conducted, Chairperson, the output is 40, the target is 40, and the reported output is 1. And the next indicator is formal engagements held with key stakeholders. The Q1 target is 34, and output is 7. And on the session lecture awareness training, the Q1 target is 14, and there were no session lectures. Station lecture awareness that were conducted during the period under review. For these 3 indicators, Chairperson, the targets were not achieved, and this was due to the COVID-19 regulations wherein traveling was restricted and contact meetings could not be held. And going forward, we will focus on media to conduct awareness sessions, e.g., for example, community radio stations will be utilized, Chairperson. And the number of recommendations referred to SAPS and the MPS that are analyzed, the target is 275 and the reported output is 266. The target was not met due to challenges with investigations. The number of recommendations that we referred to the SAPS, they were lower than the projected target. And there will be engagement with SAPS to determine the accessibility of police stations and the laboratories, and alternative ways to gather witness statements without compromising their health will also be undertaken. And the next indicator on criminal referrals forwarded to the NPA that are analyzed, the target was also not met. Our output is 211 against the target of 375. Also, the reason for non-achievement is that the criminal referrals that were referred were less than the projected target. And the next indicator is on the responses from SAPS and MPS that are analyzed. The target is 60 and it was exceeded. Our output is 82%. And the next one is on the responses from the NPA that are analyzed. The target is 50% and the output is 12%. The target was not achieved due to the fact that the majority of responses were not analyzed within the prescribed time frame, and a directive has since been issued to our provincial offices to ensure compliance, because out of the 145, yes, all were analyzed. However, the reason why we underperformed is because they were not analyzed within the prescribed time frame, which is 30 days after receipt of those responses. And the last one, Chairperson, is the case docket inspections conducted. We have an annual target of 5, but for quarter one, we do not have a target. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Ma'am Letlape. In conclusion, Chairperson, I must indicate that 8 out of 30 indicators were implemented, and it shows a dismal performance. And it's as a result of your lockdown, because most of the case, the courts were closed and the laboratories were also not being utilized for any other thing except for COVID cases. But we also take into consideration that we had to continue with the full implementation of Section 23, because we just felt that we had pressure to do that. And then we have set in place measures to improve our dismal performance, and we are monitoring them on a monthly basis. So there are catch-up plans that are already being developed by different programs, including the provinces, just to indicate how are they going to improve performance. And then the ICT implementation plan was revised, and what we did was to establish an ICT operational committee, which will closely monitor the implementation of ICT processes. There are also alternative ways of conducting community outreach program during quarter two, which we are in. We're looking at engaging community radios as well as your media houses, as well, so that we can share our information as IP in those platforms. Station lectures and formal engagements will only resume in quarter three, because stations were indicated to us that they are unable to attend to such because they wanted to respect the COVID regulations. And then the department will also continue to reprioritize our limited resources to support a service delivery. So it's important that we do that. But in the process, because I came in during this period, I felt that there are things that we needed to do. One is around identifying our own panel of pathologists, because staff have already indicated to us that they can't accommodate us that much. So we are actually struggling with the labs, because staff is also doing its own post-mortem results, so we're also joining them in. So I've said to the CFO, please, let's just have our own list of panel of pathologists. Already we've managed to do that jointly with the Department of National Health. And then the other important thing is also identify, prioritize your backlog cases, where we feel that we need your retired detectives as well as retired IP members to come and assist us in dealing with those backlog cases, because every day we've got new cases coming in. And it's even worse because we've just introduced the toll-free number and people keep on calling. So the number of cases are actually increasing. So it's important that we do that. But we will make sure that we give our best efforts in making sure that our performance is improving, particularly in quarter three. And we'll also monitor the catch-up plans that were submitted to us. But I think it's also important to make sure that all members also understand the direction that we're taking. The other important thing is around trying to work with the limited number of people in the institution itself. So I'm looking at reorganizing the structure of the department to make sure that we make an impact and also improve service delivery on the ground, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Tim, and to the team. ED, thank you very much for the presentation. Tim, thank you very much for standing in for us. We really appreciate that, and for assisting with the presentation. I've noted the hands of Honorable Shembeni and Majozi and Faku. If
that was not the, I'll take their hands again. Austin?
I'm muted, Chair.
Thank you very much, DM, for the assisting with the presentation. And thank you very much to the team for their presentation. I've noted the hands. I've noted the hands of Honorable Faku Ter Blanche Molekwa and then Mapatswe. Could we take those hands first?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. First, let me also thank the Deputy Minister. One appreciate at least one can see that he's in part of what is happening with the entities during his presentation. But Chair, I think most of the things that we have raised, they are overlapping on this next presentation. And I think as I was listening to the ED, I think for us to be fair on her also and also the entity with the time that she was just appointed a month ago or two, so as she's trying to transform the entity, it's not going to be easy, but the issues that she's highlighting, I think for me from where I'm sitting, they are making sense that as she's trying to transform that is why some of the targets were not met. I've got two questions. In terms of the compliance and monitoring sub-program, there was an underspending of 950,000 against the projected. Can then the directorate explain what is the reasons for this? I have that question, Chairperson, and then I'll come back again. This thing of network, it kills one. But I've got that question, Chairperson, and then I'll come back with my other question. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ter Blanche and then Molekwa.
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, yeah, the questions or the information that we got is very much overlapping with the fourth quarter. I just want to, raise one issue again, and that is the underspending with investigations and information. And Chairperson, that can be attributed, I think, to the vacant posts, thirty-eight to be precise, indicated the 38 vacant posts. Chairperson, really, I think we have reached the stage now with IPED that, and yes, I agree that we have the new executive director and she must be given a chance to, to rectify things there. But this committee will have to take note the serious impact what the underperformance of IPED is making in the role that they're supposed to be playing. And I want to emphasize that, Chairperson, at the later stage, we'll have to decide how we are going to take this forward. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ter Blanche. Honorable Molekwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me start also by appreciating the presentation presented here today.
Sorry. Honorable Molekwa, could we have your video on, please?
Am I not audible?
No, you're audible, but we want to see you.
Can you hear me, Chairperson? Hello?
Please continue.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I just want to start by appreciating the presentation as presented today, Chairperson. And also, I really appreciate the progress insofar as the performance is concerned, and where the department did not achieve is understandable due to the lockdown that we have experienced this year. But Chairperson, I just wanted to check with the department on the community outreach program. I can see that most of the community outreach programs, the target were achieved. So my question is that whether this community outreach program has yielded positive response, whether the ultimate objective has been achieved as we go out and consult with the community Chairperson. So I just wanted to check whether the ultimate objective has been achieved or not. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Molekwa, Honorable Mapatso, and then Chembeni.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. It's just one question regarding the slide that speaks to just how we are overlapping this quarter one and quarter four. The slide on the overspending on the legal and investigation advisory service program. That's at the end of the first quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Chembeni.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine, I've got only two questions. The first one, it's when I look at the first quarter, seemingly the directorate was not declared as the essential service. When was it declared essential service? Number two is about the inspection of the case dockets. That is a very important part in investigation, because if you don't do your inspection in your case dockets, now it means you will not be able to weigh your work. How far are you with your investigations in those dockets? And usually that's where you find investigators tubing you. They play around, and when it comes to investigation after a long period, the investigators will write anything there in the docket. So I think it is very much important for the executive to make sure that inspections in the dockets are done regularly, so that they can be able to give instructions and to make sure that the instructions are being followed. So I just want to find out exactly there, what measures are they going to put in place to make sure that proper inspections are being done in the case dockets. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll give an opportunity for responses. Thank you, Honorable Chembeni. Executive Director.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me first start with the underspending on vacancy rates. Yes, we acknowledge that there was an underspending on vacancy rate, and it's because it was the lockdown period, so we could not do anything around that, and because most of the members were not around, and we could not send out adverts for the vacancies that are existing in the institution. But let me give an assurance to the House that definitely by quarter three, because I came in at the middle of quarter two, we'll definitely be advertising. But what is important is that we should not go about advertising posts for the sake of having warm bodies in this post. What I've done, after I visited 9 provinces, I managed to identify gaps. We realized that we have so many chiefs and less people on the ground. Now, what is important is to fill in the base, people on the ground. One, we are short of admin clerks. We're going to assist with administration for these investigators. Two, we've got a challenge around the system that we're using, where we are uploading cases. Now, what we are currently doing is to review that the system itself and see if ICT and together with CETA cannot come up with another system so that we have a system that is user-friendly to investigators, because they've complained about the system in all 9 provinces, and make sure that that system is able to generate the cases and we're even able to see the backlog of cases. So in my quest to make sure that we are properly staffed, I want to advertise posts that are going to add value, but not posts for the sake of having those posts. There are posts that I'm considering to abolish because I don't think they add too much value. Instead, our more posts must be available at an administration level so that we can beef up our structure. The other important point is around the one that I've spoken about, your legal quality assurance. We cannot continue to have cases turned down at NPA without us looking at those cases that we have submitted and have been declined for prosecution. But lastly, on issues around the vacancy rate, we also had a directive from DPSA to say we need to put on hold the filling of vacant posts or vacant posts during our lockdown period. Hence, we had this challenge of filling in of vacancies in the department. And then secondly, it's around issues of underperformance of IPIT. I'm saying, Member Tel Blanche, give me an opportunity to look at the catch-up plans. I have visited 9 provinces just to understand what makes provinces, including the head office, to underperform. Now, I've managed to identify those gaps. Fortunately, this Thursday and Friday, we're having our own own quota, where we're going to review our performance, where we will look at when we say a case must go to court, what is it that must go into that case? But what is also important is to look at the standard operating procedures that we are currently having. That also serves as a deterrent measure in terms of making sure that we get the best. And we're also going to be, I've already indicated that we've managed to secure a panel of pathologists to assist us in speeding up some of the post-mortem results, including the ballistic report. So we've already engaged the Department of Health. It has given us the list of that panel of pathologists. Now we are busy engaging varsities because they've got these labs where we can do our ballistics. So I want to make sure that people don't have an excuse as to why cases are not being sent to court and don't have sufficient evidence in them. So that's what we have done. So definitely give us a benefit of doubt. I am saying, see what that rate performance, it would have improved. I would have put up measures in place because already we have a plan to see how we're going to go about. But I must also take into consideration the outcome of the quota that we'll be having over on Thursday and Friday. The community outreach program, Member Munekwa, we did not achieve them. They did not happen because it was during lockdown. So we could not have any engagement as such. That's why we are saying perhaps in quarter two, let's look at other alternative ways of doing this community outreach program. And what I've indicated was community radios, your media briefs were already written. If you look at quarter two, by the time I came in, there are so many media statements that have been issued out. And we've got your messages on the YouTube, where we also got responses from viewers and were asking us questions in that regard. So that's the other alternative way of engaging our own community. But quarter three definitely would take off and make sure that things are up and running. Hence, we have also started to, we've launched our own toll-free number so that we are seriously engaging communities at a very, very local level, including those that are in rural areas. Overspending on legal services. I think Ntate Ramaphosa will talk to that.
Thank you very much, Executive Director. Next.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. There are various factors that have driven the litigation overspending or litigation costs. Firstly, we have broad understanding now of the citizens of their rights. The population is becoming aware of their rights and they are enforcing their rights. So this leads to the soaring number of cases that we receive as IP. The second issue is the perception that the state has a bottomless bag full of money from which the general public and attorneys can draw money. And that is why we get inundated with legal claims. As a department, we observed an unfortunate instance where cases are lodged against the department. However, they are never being finalized or prosecuted. And this has led our contingent liability to continue soaring. Honorable Chairperson and members, at this stage, our contingent liability stands at 72,901,000 rand. And this has happened after we have removed certain matters from our contingent liability, owing to the fact that they are very old matters, one of them dating back to 2009. So in the legal sense, if a person has lodged a claim in 2009, and by 2020, that claim has not been prosecuted, one can infer that the claimant has lost interest in the matter or has seen that there are no prospects of success. However, as the department, we don't have control of how many matters we receive. We don't have control of how people react to the conduct of our investigators or the department in its entirety. However, we can mitigate our losses by training our police, by training our investigators better and ensuring that they comply with the constitutional mandate of the department and that they are at their best behavior at all times. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Do we have any additions?
Yes, Chair, we do. With regards to the directorate being declared as essential service, Mr. Sitsedi can engage on that because there were some processes that were set in place to declare our directorate as essential service.
Thank you, Chair, Edi. Chairperson, we were declared one of the essential service entities during the beginning of the lockdown. What happened is that we noticed that under regulations, our entity was not listed among those entities that were listed there. And immediately we consulted with the Ministry of Legal Services to check if we are indeed part of the entities that are supposed to do essential services. And we were given the legal opinion to say, yes, we must continue because we are working with the police and the police is one of the essential services. Therefore, we are regarded as essential services since that Chair, we have been working as one of the essential services entities. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Steady. Chair, the last one is around inspection of dockets. How do we do inspection of dockets? I'll ask Mamu Lupe to respond on the inspection of dockets. Mamu Lupe?
Okay.
Thank you, Chair. In terms of inspection of dockets, the ideal would be to do docket inspection in all the 9 provinces, but due to resource limitations, that's why we are only doing, for this financial year, we'll only be doing 5 docket inspections, meaning we will only be conducting docket inspections in 5 provinces. So in terms of the process, when the integrity strengthening officials get to a province, they are given all the dockets that have been completed and they sample. I'm saying they sample because, given the capacity, they cannot go through all the dockets that have been provided. So they go through each and every docket and they check it against the standard operating procedures to check if there is compliance with the SOP. And at the same time, they might find in some cases whereby there are these, what can I call them, cases whereby the officials are not closing the cases properly. So they end up identifying such cases where the ethics are not adhered to. In those such instances, there will be follow-ups with such investigators to get answers as to why things happened the way they do. But ideally, in terms of docket inspection, every single docket is supposed to be inspected from page to page to check if processes have been properly followed. And the quality thereof is of good standing. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you, Chair.
I'll take, honourable members, I'll take another round of questions while you are deciding if you want to ask questions. May I ask the process of enlisting former SAPS investigators, do you have a budget for this? In which provinces will this happen? And would this process need to go out for tender? I'm still waiting for more hands. I don't see any further hands for this round of questions. Could you respond to that, please?
Okay, thank you, Chair. What we have done is to look at the current vacancy rate and utilize that money. What we're going to do is to look at the savings of those vacancy rates, to look at the 4 hotspot provinces. I declare them as 4 hotspot provinces. That's where we're going to pilot this process, because that is where we have more dockets, and that is where we have dockets that are coming, that where we have more cases coming in. So we've sat down with our corporate services to look at the budget to say, how long are we going to be employing this detectives? And one would want to pilot it for a year to see if they are making any impact in terms of the work that we are doing, particularly the number of backlog cases. So we'll look internally, look at the vacancy rate, how much is there, and then utilize those detectives to do that. So our piloting will happen in those 4 hotspot provinces, that is Gauteng, Eastern Cape, KZN, and Western Cape, because the intake of dockets, it's too much in those 4 provinces.
Thank you very much. Honorable Shembeni, I have noted you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to ask on that one of the enlisting of retired detectives or whatsoever, the age limit, up to what age will you be hiring those detectives? Because as you're saying, the retired ones. So we are looking at the age now. At what age
will you be enlisting these detectives? Thank you.
Thank you very much. You may respond.
Thank you, Chair. We are looking at people who have retired from 60 to 65 years. So those are the ones that we still feel that they are still strong and are able to assist us, given their own experience in the field of detection. So yeah, that's the age group that we are looking at. But I don't think there will be many because it's for only four provinces. And yeah, once we have them on board, we'll also look at how they're also performing. Hence, the contract is not going to be long.
Thank you very much for the response. I do not see any further hands. Honorable members, if we do not have any additional hands in this round, it allows me to give the Deputy Minister an opportunity. Executive Director, would you like to say a few final words before I give an opportunity to the Deputy Minister?
Thank you, Chair. Let me give the House the assurance that quarter three will definitely perform, and we will definitely make sure that we also achieve our targets. So may I request the House to give us a benefit of doubt, given the plan that we have to make sure that we improve our performance. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable Deputy Minister, would you like to conclude before we end the meeting?
No, thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity, and thanks for members of the committee for their input and guidance. We take note of the issues they've raised with us, and I'm happy that the Executive Director is also saying that you will see a different product come the second quarter as we continue to report. We will take her on her word, but we work as a team. We'll work together to improve the situation, guided by yourself from time to time as we come to account before you. Thank you very much, Chair, for this. It has been a productive engagement. And thanks to the Executive Director and the team for having prepared for this session. Thanks, Chair, for the opportunity you gave us. We really appreciate our encounter with the members of Parliament from time to time on a variety of issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. Allow me to say, honourable members, that there's a bit of more energy that has come into IPET. And there's a new energy. So thank you, Executive Director. I'm not going to say who is that new energy. But there's definitely, we get a sense that there is direction, team, that your task will be much easier now that IPET is led. IPET was leaderless for a very long time. So I get my my sense of movement, that there's definitely improvement. And there's a willingness, there's the administrative collective, and there's a willingness to perform. Now, with the Deputy Minister, you have the political will, and you have shown us that you do oversight over these entities. And we wish to thank you for that. These reports were very well presented. Please convey our gratitude to the National Minister. We'll then await for the annual reports, and we'll do that as soon as possible. Honourable members, thank you very much for your participation. This committee functions very well. And I'm very pleased with the types of questions we do ask.
it shows that this is not a committee that's just going to rubber stamp whatever they receive. The presentations were of a very high quality. I wish to thank you for that, honorable members of SAPS. Convey it to SAPS, the National Commissioner. The presentations were received on time and of a very good quality. Finally, I'd like to thank our staff, the support staff of Parliament. We must say that there's been a mammoth improvement in the manner in which staff do their work. Our researchers, Ms. Nicolette Fancel-Gous, Dr. Kinis Babawa, your staff, Minister, Deputy Minister, your staff, in your office, your parliamentary staff, they have been of great assistance. With those last few words, I have the honor of declaring the meeting closed. Thank you all.
Thank you, Chairperson.